Okay, we have a quorum. Do you please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we don't have any student presentation tonight. So we go to approval of the agenda. That's the point at which, is there anything on the consent agenda that we want to pull off? Maybe the extra duty contracts, because they're we have an appendix to them. Yeah. It's just that we changed them from how we put them out, right?
Well, we usually just have two or three, and so then I put them in because we have so many this time. I did as an attachment.
Okay. I think it was just one addition to the extra duty contracts.
Yes.
From what had. Anyway. Okay, we can either pull it out or we can leave it in. It's not that big a deal. All right, if people are okay with leaving it in the consent agenda, I will. But all right, I'd like a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the September 16th, 2014 agenda.
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. Opposed. Motion approved. Student representative report, Van Abbott.
Well, the weekend, first weekend of September, we had swim and dive here and volleyball. And then the following week, volleyball was here for a few days. And then that weekend, or so it's just this weekend, cross country was here. And our cross country team is doing very well. And last week, the AP Biology group went up the Stikine and surveyed amphibians. This is an email that Miss Johnson sent me. They were working on the baseball field and in the Stikine Flats with Josh Ream and Seth Perry of the Alaska Herpetological Society. Students were surveying for amphibians in these areas, counting the number of different species, as well as vouching samples as part of the long-term monitoring that is occurring with numbers declining. 12 Columbia spotted frogs were found behind the ball field, whereas hundreds were found in the flats. Mr. Kevin Hess and Mr. John Painter also helped out hugely with logistics.
Okay. Nice. Do we have any questions for Van? We can come up with some, huh?
Are you in AP?
No.
Yep. Sounds like fun.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. You're off. You have a lot going on, I bet you. Thank you for coming. Correspondence. Is there any correspondence? Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items. Comments from the audience related to agenda items. Actually, we have an extra guest in the audience that I don't recognize. Are you here for a specific...
Yeah, I'm a reporter now with the Newsworth Pilot.
Oh, okay. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is
Mary. Okay. Comments from board members? Then we have the consent agenda. I have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda for September 16th, 2014.
Okay, this includes the regular accounting report. So, Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Jean Ellis?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Sean
Lyle? Yes.
Megan
Lester?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0. Okay, administrative reports, superintendent reports, Dr. Lisa Stroh.
Sure. We have started the school year, and it's off to a great start. Our enrollment is up 12 students from what we had last year. There are 9 in the elementary school, and those are spread out among all of the grades, so there isn't just a real bubble there. And then there are 3 new students in the middle school, high school. And one of the reasons why I don't say there's so many in the middle school, so many in the high school, because the eighth grade class from last year moved up to the high school, and they're a rather large class. So we'll just group them all together. And we do have some part-time students as well that are homeschooled part of the time and then come to school for a couple of classes. So I think that's really good for our community that we're holding strong with our enrollment and up just a little bit. So that's great. Of course, when you increase in enrollment, people are going, do we need to hire teachers? No, we don't need to hire new teachers. The only thing that we have needed to do to adjust is in our sixth period class in the high school, we had 34 students in Algebra 1. So we did advertise, and we're bringing it to the board tonight to approve the hiring of just a one period Algebra 1 teacher for that period, because we really do want to keep the class sizes down as much as possible. And if we can divide that class of 34 into two classes, they'll just get a lot better, help and better education. So we are doing that. We also have added three AP classes. Those are advanced placement classes. They're in English, biology, and Mr. Dormer helped me out on the third.
Calculus,
right. Okay. And in calculus. So we have those three AP classes. As has been in place before, those are graded on a 5.0 scale. The one thing that we are changing this year is that in the past, when a student would take an advanced placement class, in order to be graded on that 5.0 scale, the student needed to take this exit exam, this test at the very end, and score a 3 or higher on it. And if the student didn't score a 3 or higher, then he didn't get that weighted grade, the 5.0 scale. So what we have done is we've made it so the students can get the weighted grade without having to score the 3 or higher on the scale. So that just helps all students. And so you will see in your packet, I do have the board policy. It's 5121, and that's just written in the AR, which is the administrative regulation. All it does is just say that they don't have to score higher on that test to get the weighted grade. And on students' transcripts, it's just like it's always been. They have a weighted grade and they have an unweighted grade. So with these addition of these new AP classes, we will have more students that have, their weighted grade and their unweighted grades. Grade point averages aren't exactly the same. The only thing that a weighted grade really does at this point is some colleges will look at that weighted grade and put more emphasis in that for, enrollment and entrance criteria. The other thing that I will report is in your packet you will find the board policy 5127 along with the administrative regulation with that. There are no changes from last year to this year. That has to do with how the Petersburg School District selects what criteria they use to select the valedictorian, salutatorian, and historian. And there was a little bit of discussion at the June board meeting that should be based on that weighted grade, since we will have AP classes. But in talking with Mr. Dormer, we just really feel that we should just leave it the same as it was, because we need to have more discussion and parents need to have more input into that, and we don't want to change the criteria when students are halfway through or three quarters of the way through with their high school career.
So, you're thinking if you start that, we'll start that with the freshman, like next year's freshman class.
Possibly.
But we'll discuss it over the winter.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And one good thing about the discussion that has come around both of these board policies is that people are saying, oh, grading, you know, there's other issues that have to do with grading as well. And so we're just making a list, and in the next few months we'll have some community meetings and we'll work with the student council and discuss some of the other issues, and then maybe write an administrative regulation that encompasses more things that have to do with grading. But along with that, we also will decide when those would take effect, which would probably be with like an incoming freshman class. Because I think that it is really important that as students start their freshman year and parents are working with the counselors and choosing classes for their kids, that they know that they are under this set of guidelines, this set of rules for those 4 years, and not change that in the middle. So that's what I would like to see happen, and I think it will be really healthy dialogue, and it's a really worthwhile subject to work with the student council, and they can see that their opinions really matter as well. And we'll be working with the staff and the community on that too. So so that's what we were planning for those two board policies. On another note, the elementary renovation is coming along. The siding is almost complete. And I guess in closing, I would just say it's just been an incredible start of the school year. The staff is so dedicated, and especially this last weekend. I mean, we had like 200 students in town. I'm sure that that Jamie will tell you the exact number, but you know, just people stepping up and getting kids off the ferry and the planes. I mean, 1:30 in the morning at 4:00. It's just been absolutely incredible, the staff and the dedication. And just to see all those kids, it was neat. And we did get some pictures of the cross-country teams with Jack Eddy, who the track or the cross-country meet is named after. So we'll try to get those on the website. If I could just get them emailed in. They keep asking me, get those emailed to us. So so that's pretty special as well, to have Jack at the cross-country meet. And that's all that I have for my report. Thanks. Do you have any questions or anything?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Maintenance report, Dan Tate.
Good evening. Generally, I begin my reports with something similar to, I'm happy to report that your facilities are in a good state of repair or something similar to that. But I'm not going to say that, I'm not saying that that's not true tonight. Your facilities are in a good state and good to go. But I thought I would begin by saying, now that we are into our third week of the school year, things are now starting to settle down to a more normal level. And I think that's a very good thing to report upon tonight. My report is going to be not going to be very diverse either tonight, as most of the activity has been focused on the elementary school. We did not have access to the elementary until about August 13th this year. The maintenance department, custodians, and elementary staff had to complete 9 weeks of work in about 3 weeks, which is no easy task. Therefore, during the in-service, an emphasis was put on getting our active classrooms together and get our doors ready to be opened on the first day on September 2nd. New curriculum was delivered, furniture was found and moved accordingly, clocks set, phones installed, and general cleaning took place. Many of the faculty took this opportunity to rearrange and reorganize their rooms, too. Much obsolete material was removed from the school, or we found a new home for it. The maintenance department had salvaged many of the old, original under-window cabinets, and we repurposed these in many rooms as bookshelves and storage units. Nevertheless, cleaning and organizing commenced in school right up to about 8 p.m. on Labor Day night, just to ensure that we were ready to open those doors on Tuesday morning. Phase two began the first week of school. With our active classrooms open and ready for business, Rands and I assisted the elementary aides in setting up the auxiliary classrooms. We did much the same for them, which was done for the faculty. We repurposed bookshelves, hauled obsolete material out of the school, and general cleaning and tidying up the spaces as needed. Most of this work was completed by Thursday or Friday of that week. Luckily, we had ample time to prepare the middle and high school this summer, and we saw very few issues the first days of the school year. We, of course, had the normal issues with waking up a heating system, with some spaces a touch cold and others a touch warm, but those are always easily corrected and not unexpected this time of year. Other minor problems consisted of meeting classroom furniture needs as students added or dropped classes. This bell schedule was updated and reworked several times in the high school. We did have one repair of note in the high school gym, though. We had to deal with a pair of leaking heating system pipes 30 feet up on this gym ceiling wall, the gym ceiling. And we were able to correct that with new seals and clamps, and it was a little bit of a struggle, but we got her done. Some of our teething issues with the remodel began to develop in the elementary towards the end of the first week of school, and it really dominated our attention the second week of school. The new lighting system in the elementary school has a bug in a few classrooms where the lights will trip and need to be manually reset. It has been discussed with the architect and the contractor. Our understanding is the electrical engineer is conferring with an electrician for a solution to that problem. Eric is keeping a list of any errant issues with the lighting and the electrical system, so we stay on top of that till the very end. It was also took a better part of the week to get the heating system dialed in. We were running pretty warm at first due to the tighter energy envelope developed into that remodel. It really holds the heat in now. It is good, and we've been able to scale back the heating programming greatly. I had also thought to bring you some fuel usage data tonight, but it occurred to me that I really haven't developed a baseline yet to share that with you. But just by looking at it briefly, it seems like the building's just sipping fuel at this point, and I hope to bring you that data in the future as we collect more of it. We also chase
sipping versus gulping, right?
Pardon?
Sipping versus gulping?
Exactly. We really like that. We also chased small issues with our phones, the PA system, and bells as we exercised those systems that second week. It was hectic, but by Friday last week, it seemed like we had generally caught up with bugs, requests, and concerns, and it was starting to feel a little bit more normal around the school district. So here we are, the second day of the third week, and there's not much urgency attached to the days as it has been the first couple weeks. We're breathing just a little bit easier now. And while it's not quiet, I'm keeping busy with routine requests from staff, basic preventive maintenance, inquiries from the architect and contractor on the Stebbins project, as that's drawing closer to an end. And new projects are beginning to develop. John Findlay of ACC will begin replacing the windows in Ginger Evans' classroom, perhaps as early as tomorrow. This is due to the fact that the windowsill is really in close proximity to the first floor roof outside of it, and we have a lot of water backsplash coming back at the building and getting in under the windowsills. What we're going to do is the new windows are going to be raised up just a bit higher so we don't have that backsplash hitting the windows directly. And we have high hopes that will take care of that problem in that room. Currently, we have a technician from ATS Alaska here in town, and he's upgrading the digital control system that was incorporated into the elementary's HVAC system. And we're also consolidating our system with the one that the Parks and Recs have over in their building. This upgrade was planned as part of the Stedman remodel. It allows computer control of the heating system. The joint part of it is going to be a cost-saving venture with the borough, and it was originally proposed by Donnie Hayes. Petersburg Schools will host the new server that's being installed in my office, which will run both of our HVAC control systems. In the past, both entities had their own servers, which were underutilized, and they're now each approaching about 10 years of age. One server now is capable of doing two, so we've determined that we're going to consolidate them into one server, which will be housed at the district. Both parties, though, will have unique web-based control interfaces, so we'll be able to control our system independently of them controlling their system. However, though, if there was an emergency situation and the primary person for that building was not able to be there, the borough could step in for us, or we could step in for the borough and access their system and take care of a problem. So it seems like a win-win situation across the board. At the end of this month, Rance McIntosh will travel to Denver for Boiler Operator School to supplement his formal training as a building professional. He will be in a three-day hands-on learning. He'll be in a three-day hands-on learning class, learning boiler theory and safety, boiler controls, and troubleshooting techniques. When he returns in early October, we will begin our preventive maintenance regime on our HVAC equipment and prepare our snow-moving equipment as we usually do that time of year. We've also been told to expect to take delivery of the Ford flatbed that you approved last May, so we're looking forward to that as well. So all in all, things are progressing as they should now that things have settled down and we have settled in. So any questions that I might ask for you tonight?
And thank you for all your hard work.
You're welcome.
A lot going on.
There has been. Thank you.
Okay, principal's report. Okay, Erica's not here today. So, Rick Dormer,
right.
High school. You're not doing elementary and high school. You're just high
school.
I'm not.
They're just high school and middle school. So.
I thought so. But.
Yeah. I would have done it. She didn't ask, but I would have done it for her. Good evening. Lots going on, as the Superintendent Stroh said. Exciting stuff. Actually, one of the things I'm excited about is not really even something that Petersburg take credit for, is with the changes we, Dr. Thomason for a couple of years and I had talked about really trying to require all of our juniors to take the ACT or the SAT. I really like that message it sent to being college and career ready for our students. And we kicked it around, and Rachel Letcher last year tried really, really hard. And the companies themselves actually were fighting us because we were too small. And I said something, even though we're willing to pay and all this type of stuff, it was really something. And the state of Alaska stepped in, and so as you know, they're kind of expanding, and they're going to pay for all of our students to take one of those tests. And so this will be the first year. And so this year, all juniors in Petersburg High School will take the SAT. It'll be on February 25th this year with a makeup day of April 29th. That's how they're going forward. Could there be some bumps or something in the system? We hope not, but Alaska's doing. There are particulars on the ASPE score, which we're all, you know, really excited about, the 4, 4, and 5. And one of those, it talks about the testing and our kids taking ACT and SAT, as well as the work keys assessment, which is a test that that we're supposed to have everybody take, or at least have an opportunity. We are allowed to offer the ACT, the SAT, or the work keys, and all juniors need to take at least one of those. We obviously believe that the SAT is a superior test, so we're really going to push that, and so we're not going to push it, we're just going to say, so we take in, the state's paying for it. We do still offer the work keys test as the state is required, and if students wish to take that, we'll continue to get information out. It would be later in the school year, but that's a change coming from the state, and it's exciting because it's something we've been trying to do for a while. Go ahead, Jean.
Okay, are you also going to offer the ACT?
Yeah, students may still continue, good question, especially if you're listening on the radio, still may continue to take the ACT and the SAT outside of that date on their own, and they'll still pay for it as they always have. So no change to that.
Because yeah. A lot of colleges want both of them.
Yes, and many kids like to take both. And many kids like to take it more than just their junior year. But up until this point, we've required kids to take the work keys, and then we've, of course, offered those where they paid for it, and now the state has said it doesn't have to be the work keys. And the work keys test, we all agree, at least in Petersburg here, is not as useful as the SAT and the ACT. So that's pretty cool. I think it's really good, and I'm just curious to see how our kids do. It'll be a nice change, and again, the state's pushing that through, so it's not a Petersburg change or decision, but it's our decision of how to implement their policy, and that's what we're looking at going forward with. Yeah. Some change in staff, as you heard, on the consent agenda. We're just welcoming, I'm doing in front of the board here, Penny Caples in the middle school and high school as an aide. What a great asset. She has several years' experience prior to Petersburg as an instructional aide in a school up north, and that's been great. And she's just started, so welcome to her, and appreciate her hard work already diving in. And I'm also, I want to say welcome to Alice Kumps, but as she applied, and the board will talk about here soon, her having that one contract of math teaching. She student taught many of these kids last year, is a certified teacher, and has been just a fantastic aide in the building. So welcome to her in that capacity. She's working really hard, and that's a great. I hope it's kind of. I feel like it's a win-win that we had a really big class with our increased enrollment, and we had some this great aid with some fantastic skills, and I think it seems to be going very well. So it's pretty cool. Reminder, if you weren't watching real close, it is a close-up year. We alternate this every year, so it's close-up this year. Jim Engel is continuing to head that as our one of our social studies teachers. There will be additional chaperones that have not been decided yet. We are potentially looking at the week of March 30th, which we always try to pick a least impacted week, and that is the week of testing. We still think, as you know, testing has changed this year. Those SBA tests, again, with no HSGQE, qualifying exam. It is now the AMP, Bridget Woodstock can tell you, is our director of testing, the Alaska Measures of Progress, AMP. It always changes, and we don't know. As you remember, last year we were going to give it on the laptops, and the state pulled out, and it's been changing vendors. But they're scheduled to do that again this year, so it's a slightly different schedule. But that's the week that our kids will be testing. Juniors and seniors are not yet testing, although they are talking about that coming soon. So that is the week that freshmen and sophomore will be testing, and so juniors and seniors naturally don't come to school for some of those days. So that's the week we've chosen for close-up because they miss the least amount of class. We do talk about spring break, but spring break continues to be the state basketball tournament, and I have never, and some of us just don't feel good about the girls starting a season knowing that they have that big decision. There's still a lot of discussion about that, but we're looking at the week of March 30th for testing. That's coming up, yeah. And close-up. In the more foreseeable future, middle school back-to-school night is this Thursday. If you're listening, that is 6:30. Just Mitkoff Middle School parents and students, they're welcome to bring siblings and brothers and sisters if they want to see the show. And this is a little different than the high school open house where parents really just kind of came in and went and saw who they wanted to see. This will start in the auditorium. The great Mr. Cabral will have a short presentation as well as Principal Dormer. We're going to do our best to keep it short, and then we really want to release parents to go meet with their kids' teachers and get a handshake and kind of get a syllabus and see what the classroom's like. So we encourage middle school parents to show up.
What time is that again?
6:30 is when it starts in Wright Auditorium.
Which day?
You asked me the date.
18,
thank you. You tricked me.
Oh, it's right here on the piece.
Oh, good, okay. First I didn't. I could have looked at it as well, and I wasn't.
Yeah, I should have looked. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many kids, they have an idea on close-up?
Nope, not yet. Not yet. The interest is, you know, usually starts pretty high.
Yeah.
I think he has 40-ish is interest. Have you heard anything, Mrs. Evans, yet? No, okay. Just checking soul states. But the interest is usually high, but we know it always dwindles. So if we're really close to 30, then we'll take 3. We try to keep that 1 to 10, if possible. If we're low 20s, we'll just take 2. Yeah. You heard Van Abbott, a great discussion. He did a good job because I did not bring that much information about the herpetologist, but I just heard it was a great trip with AP Biology kids. Went for a couple days or a day and a half and did some work this Stikine. Really cool. I just want to say thank you to Mrs. Johnson. Along with that following Thursday, she took the aquaculture kids, as she does every year, and they do an egg take and get ready to use those for the hatcheries and stuff. Again, just what's so cool, that is just such, I mean, it's just science. The kids do it. I love that. So cool. It's not in a textbook. It's not a worksheet. They're out there doing it. So thank you so much, Mrs. Johnson, you know, and Sunny Rice and John Clue Painter. She mentioned a couple other. Thank you. So lots of people involved with that. But cool. Just cool that our kids are doing real life science here. Other things coming up, LeConte Survey is doing, you know, we have this great surveying class Mr. Troutman's led for years. They're doing a tour of the survey. They're not going on and surveying it yet. That's the end of the year. But they are going on a tour here on the 29th. And I think they're actually taking the breakaway up there and just getting and checking it out. So it's kind of a warm-up to when they go up there and stand on the cliffs and use the surveying equipment. So that's coming up for students and staff as Mr. Troutman goes. Some of you are probably aware that I will be leaving, as will Mrs. Evans, Mrs. KP, Superintendent Stroh for the PD 360 conference here on the 28th. We'll be going to Salt Lake City, Utah. And the PD 360 program is what we are hoping to move forward in utilizing for our teacher evaluation as we try to conform to the Alaska teacher evaluation laws. So that just wanted to let you know that's on my calendar and several of us, and we're going to check it out. We've been talking about it and it reps for a while, and this should be us fully engulfed in it, I guess, down at Salt Lake for a couple days. So we'll come back with more information, I hope, right? Yeah, should be pretty good. And I am just announcing that I have put my name in for the, with the superintendent's blessing, as the Region 5 representative for secondary schools. Mrs. KP has done this a few times. It just means throughout the state, when the National Association of Secondary School Principals, in conjunction with the Alaska Association of Secondary School Principals, we have a president who's actually from Valdez, you know, Mr. Rod Morrison, is a great man. And they have a board for all the regions. Josh Andrews from Craig has done it for several years in the past, and he has stepped down, and I've put myself in the nominations to do that. It'd probably just be a temporary business until we went back and re-voted again, but I just want you to know that I'm running for that and hope that goes well. Good chance just to represent Petersburg up at the state level and meet some cool new people up there too, some colleagues. Yeah. And then finally, working with Superintendent, she did a great report on everything with the AP grading. And again, just wanted to really thank the board, publicly thank again. I had a lot of people from just the community come forward and talk about the advanced placement grading. A lot of students love talking to students about this type of stuff, really, truly love their input on something like this. And I want to take a minute just to give a couple brief, that just background on it, and again, just to continue to curve, if people have comments, understand that there's a lot of work forward going with this. The superintendent said where we're at now with the weighted scale we are going forward with, but that the valedictorian, salutatorian, historian will continue to be based on a 4.0 scale, as she said. But just the history of this, that you know, Sue Harden and Rachel Etcher and I started working on this back in the fall of 2013. And then worked with other schools to come something up. And really our goal was to, and our goal will continue to be, to encourage kids taking the most rigorous schedule possible. And that we believe that includes advanced placement classes. And really what the other thing I put in here was to mitigate the risk of taking a difficult class. Because we've had several students in my short time here not take an advanced placement class because for fear of, I might get a B, I might get a C. It's really hard, which... they're really hard, you know. So that was really our goal going into it, and the timing on it. Obviously, I take full credit for just the poor timing not being ideal. Just the stress it put on kids. I was really disappointed that worked out that way. We went into it really trying to help kids, and just the timing of it. And so I was really happy the way it worked out, and that so many people came forward really in support of the system of continuing to talk about more weighted grades and the AP scale and so many more issues that came forward with that, which is really good. And it's kind of opened some avenues for us to talk about more things to continue to improve our policy and to reward reward these kids that are taking a really rigorous course load. So really, really do appreciate that. I hope no parents or students ever felt that they shouldn't be coming forward. Again, you as board members can always come catch me one-on-one or, you know, at any time. We're always happy to talk about it. But there's lots to talk about going forward. I was thinking in my notes and realized we were asking the question of how to mitigate the damage there. And really this question, I hope you can think about going forward with AP grading, is what does a valedictorian or salutatorian historian in Petersburg mean? Because there's really so many different things that means. I was able to work with some of my old colleagues down in Beaverton, you know, just to talk about those people also pushing their kids like Petersburg. I mean, the home of Nike, the home of Intel, you know, a lot of Intel places. And they're really pushing forward. And some pretty cool ideas came out of there. They're dealing with some of these issues that we are with the slightly off-weighted GPA of different classes, and so it's good to talk about these huge districts that are doing the same thing, that talking about the same things, and what does a valedictorian mean down there. And so one of the ideas is, you know, that it's not even just based on pure GPA, but citizenship and nominated by staff. And so there's lots and lots to talk about, so many issues you've probably heard from the community, from the kids, so it's going to keep on going. Really appreciate Superintendent Stroh's leadership. When you get in a time like this and realize, you know, people are upset, and are we doing, how do we continue to strive to do what's right for kids? So thanks again for the board support, superintendent support, and we will continue to, again, move forward with topics like this just to keep making the district better and recognize we have really great students that are really pushing themselves hard, and we want to reward them any way we can. That was a long report, but Erica wasn't here, so it doesn't count because I took her time too. Any questions for me?
No,
thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks.
Okay, activities report. Jamie. It sounds like you had a busy weekend.
Nah, it was boring. a lot of stuff going on. We had our first weekend back in school. Juno Douglas was here for volleyball, and Thunder Mountain and Sitka was here for swim, so quite a busy night where you could run between the pool and the gym and see both things going on at once, and the swimmers came over and watched us Friday evening. That was great. They were even in the team huddle as we were talking for pregame. And then we had the volleyball girls showing up there Saturday morning, cheering them on. It was quite the weekend. And then this past week, if I get my days right, we had Edgecombe here Wednesday and Thursday for volleyball. And then as soon as we dropped Edgecombe off at the ferry terminal, we took 36 cross-country runners off that ferry. It was quite the tribe of kids coming off of one ferry. I think we had about 140 coming off at 4 in the morning, so it was really fun. If you could see, they were all bright-eyed and cheery. But just the logistics all the logistics of planning everything, and Mr. Dormer picking up cake, and then they had a delayed flight because of the fog, all the little things that happened throughout the whole weekend when we have a lot of people coming in. I think we had 212 runners total in the meet, so it was... thank you to all the volunteers. Oh, my goodness. Ginger Evans was serving breakfast with Dr. Stroh and I in the morning, and seeing all the kids. Carly Wells helping out with food for the kiddos was just amazing. Had wonderful cake, nice and light and healthy breakfast for them in the morning for all those runners. And then we had sandwiches and the spaghetti feed Friday night with all the cross-country parents helping out there. They were just packed. And then all the businesses in town, I'm sure they were packed as well every single day, too. So a lot of kids roaming around. But just the volunteers that helped out, Parks and Rec with Donnie Hayes helping run the race, Coach Day, Coach Thompson, and all the other teachers that were there. Joni Johnson in the finish line with us was getting intense there for a moment with the boys' race. Really intense. It was working on the fly. But another busy week coming, but everything is away from Petersburg this weekend. So Van, I'm surprised he didn't say that. He's about to jump on a ferry tomorrow morning for swimming over in Juneau. Volleyball will be leaving Friday morning to also play Thunder Mountain. So we'll be in Juneau at the same time. Then cross country is headed to Sitka Friday afternoon for their meet there. But we will all be on the same ferry coming home. So it'll be a Petersburg party on the ferry. But we'll all be sleeping. It's going to be middle of the night. But fall is going to be busy for us, quite busy. Our next big event is home wrestling, October 17th, 18th. That's our big wrestling meet here. And the big change with Region 5 and wrestling is that the 4As are with us this year. 4As have typically been a little later in the year, but 4A wrestling has kind of been dying down because of the conflict between basketball and wrestling going on at the same time. They're not able to double on those sports at all. So I think Juneau Douglas, as big as a school they are, they were down to 8 wrestlers in their high school program. Ketchikan was at about 20, and Thunder Mountain was at about 13, and so they would actually have empty weight classes at the region tournament, so you would dress up, walk on the mat, and you win the region title in that weight class because there was empty slots all over the place. So it's a one-year trial. They do get to take region spots, though, so it's kind of a mixed blessing. The 3As are like, oh, no, we're losing those spots, and there's some schools that are – their young programs are very good, so – we shall see how it works, and yes, and it's wrestling season. But they will be starting here next week, Monday already, not the 22nd, excuse me, the 29th, wrestling will start there. The next big event that we have is Home Region Swim. We are hosting the Region Swim Meet here in Petersburg. I believe, I'm going to put it out there too, I believe Juneau Douglas is looking for homes to rent because they like to stay together, so they want to rent a home for the weekend and have all the teams just kind of stay with them. Coach John Ray out of Juneau Douglas, he's I think they're going to rent Mr. Dormer's house. Yeah. he's a good guy. Block. Yeah, all on the same block. So we'll be hosting about 100 kids there for the home swim meet, and it will be quite a festivity. It is on Halloween evening is the first night, so we do have a conflict there, but hopefully we get some trick-or-treaters there Friday night, and then Saturday, November 1st, is also Region Swim that day. So a lot of volunteers, hopefully, will be getting out there. Thanks to Viking Swim Club for helping out, too, with the timing and the scoring and all of that. It is quite the event to put on. Then after that... what else do we have coming up? November 14, 15, we're hosting the Middle School Stikine Basketball Championship Tournament here in Petersburg. It's our year to host that. And then it kind of dies off a little bit after that. Just gets a little boring after that. Cross Country is almost done with their season. They'll be heading to Sitka this week, and next weekend is regionals already. And our girls finish first at the race here. Boys, I believe, finish fifth out of all 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A. We had 15 different schools here this past weekend, so wow. It was 15 lanes starting. It was great. We got Sue Harden out of retirement real quick. She got to shoot the starting gun. She was really excited about that too as well, and I did not want to hold that package of the gun and everything else, but that is it in activities. Coach Joe Vignicki back here running the radio. He's coaching middle school cross country, and they're about to head down to Ketchikan here, about 30 runners. 30 total runners there in middle school cross country too, so we got a large tribe out there walking through the hallways, and we're pulling them up, and we sign them up for activities that they had no idea, so it's pretty fun. I think that is all. Questions for moi? Anything about wrestling? Questions on wrestling?
No. Volleyball.
Questions on volleyball. No.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thanks for all your hard work. We really appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. It was fun.
Thanks.
It was great.
Okay, upcoming dates and media announcements. Actually, I have October, the first Tuesday in October is the municipal election. I'm not sure what state that is exactly, but anyway, we have, there's 3 board members up for election, but you're running unopposed, so you shouldn't have any problem getting elected. And I'm very happy about that. But that is the first Tuesday in October. And then October 13th, which is, what day of the week is that, Sharon?
Monday.
Okay. We will be setting the agenda for the meeting on the 21st. Who would like to help me set the agenda? Okay, Jean and Cheryl. Then our next meeting is the 21st. That will also be here in the Borough Assembly Chambers. And we will be electing new officers for the upcoming year, so you might think about that.
I will not be here.
Oh.
But I can call in.
We can just say you can do whatever.
Yeah. We can elect you president, no problem.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sarah, I didn't plan our trip to see Grandpa very well.
Okay, well, hopefully everyone else will be able to be here. So.
I can certainly call in, though.
Yeah.
That would not be difficult to do.
All right. Is there any more upcoming dates or meeting announcements that I'm missing here? Old business? There is... Oh, I'm sorry, Megan?
I was going to say the Campus Connection.
Oh, yes.
Should probably not.
Should...
Since I didn't make it there today.
Well, babysitting.
Pick up there.
Okay. Campus Connection is the people that talk on the radio on that noon, the day of our meeting. Who would like to do that? It is October 21st. Yes, I could do it. Who would like to do it with me?
Am I qualified enough to do that?
Yes.
Okay, I can do it.
You are on the board. Yes, you are.
I wasn't sure the appropriate amount of time before I should jump in. So anytime, sign me up. I'm on there.
We can
put out my calendar.
And then Dr. Stroh will be with us. So I hope. You're going to be here on the 21st, right?
Yep.
Great. Okay, there's no old business. Am I ready for that now? Yep. And new business. The first thing is board goals update. Let me see, I have a tab in here. What do I have written about it? Okay, basically, these are the goals that we set in January. And we're going to have, and it's later on in the agenda, but we're going to have a board training in October. And so at that time, it'll be a good time for us to discuss the goals and see if we want to change any of them. And I actually put a big star by one of them because our goal number 5 is all district schools will achieve at least a 4-star rating on Alaska School Performance Index, ASPI. Ooh. We did it. Yay. We even had 1 5 and 2 4s. So. But the reason this is actually on the agenda today is because this is all we have like a master calendar. And there's things on it that we put, you know, in January you put this on the agenda, in April you put this on the agenda, and so it's so you don't miss some things and let them go, you know, not do anything about them. And we also had the strategic plan was in there, also in our packets, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I thought there was a couple things in here that I wasn't sure. Positive Behavior Instruction System, the PBIS program. I think Megan knows what that is, but I'm not sure if Shay did. So I thought for new board members, maybe we could have a quick thing of what the PBIS is. Rick, would you like to do that, PBIS?
Devin's probably happy to help me out.
Okay, or Ginger can do it.
But Positive Behavior Intervention Support nationwide program. You caught me off guard with that one. It's running in all 3 schools. And to be honest, it's running very differently in all 3 schools. But the focus of it is to, obviously, the basic name of it is to reward positive behavior actions. You set up common expectations for all students. What we've done here is we have a matrix, which I have a picture of it, but we have a matrix that was decided by all staff. We had teachers, K through 12, we had, you know, bus drivers, we had aides, all that kind of stuff. Got together and decided that Petersburg schools needed to be respectful, need to be responsible, and we need to be safe. And we began by looking at the uncommon areas I'm sorry, the common areas, not so non-classrooms. We're talking about how, what does it look like to be responsible in the hallway. And we taught kids that in all three buildings, which sounds a little strange, I think, from being a secondary principal. But really, high school kids are probably maybe the most irresponsible in the hallway compared to maybe elementary kids. But, you know, learn to walk on the right side of the line, don't stand in there, you know, don't scream really loud. And we set that up for the auditorium, all that type of stuff. And then reward kids when they're doing what we asked them and taught them to do, which seems fairly simple, but it's actually pretty tricky to get it all going in the right direction. At the same time, along with common expectations of how to behave, what happens if you don't behave? And so we did, it allowed us to align our discipline programs in all three buildings, I guess you'd say more efficiently, and that not so much with each other, but in there it was just very clear what happens when you decide, okay, in the hallway I'm going to scream and shout, well, what happens? And so it's, well, you'll follow through on that end. How would you add to that? Oh, I wasn't that good. You're really good at this. Mrs. Evans heads the high school program. Mr. Cabral heads the middle school program. Mrs. Klupainter and Joyce Burke-Biggs head the elementary program. Is that a good summary?
Any questions?
Yeah.
Can I make a yes. quick
sure.
statement? A year or two ago when I was in college, I took we had lots of these kind of PBIS classes for teachers and administrators. And the key was that there are supposed to be rules, you know, that the kids are familiar with instantly, like 3, 4, 5 simple rules. Mm-hmm. So the elementary school must be doing a wonderful job because in the first week, my 5-year-old can say all of the rules. I think that they're teaching kids that they're getting it. They're getting it right off the bat. I was really impressed. Because that's the idea of the program, is that they know exactly what the expectations are. So,
yeah, good.
Way to go, elementary school.
Yeah, they're great. And they are a little bit ahead of them. I'm not ashamed to say that. They're a little bit ahead of us, and it's natural. It's designed more for elementary, but they're doing a really good job. And it's, of course, like they do with reading and writing and everything, it helps out with us because as we get the kids year after year coming in, last couple of years, they're more aware of it. They're more in tune with it. It makes our job easier, and then we can, you know, move. It allows us to move a little faster, which it has. It's pretty cool. Yeah, that's right. You're of university. The University of Oregon is one of the leaders in the PBIS program. It's as hard for it is for me to say that. And we use, in fact, the Swiss program that we use is, I think, older from the University of Oregon.
Oh, okay. Jamie and Ginger, do you have anything to add to that?
No, she knows Swiss.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. And then the other one is the RTI, the Response to Intervention. Who covers that one? Oh. Jamie's pointing at Rick again. I don't know. Okay.
The concept of response to intervention really can go hand in hand with PBIS. That's the idea that, you know, if you had a... they use a triangle, 80% of your kids fall into the green, and as kids, as you get these small percentages, probably 15 or so would fall into a yellow, a cautionary, typically dealing with behavior here, and then you would have a small percentage at the very tip of the pyramid. As they move into the yellow, then you would put in interventions, and so your response to intervention, you would set up structured support, whether it's based on behavior, can also, RTI, we use it all the time in special education. It is not necessarily a special education initiative, but we do it all the time in special education when a kid is for some need is behind in reading or something, you'd set up interventions. PBIS is the same thing with behavior. If you're having an issue, you put them on a behavior plan, or you are meeting with parents for those type of things, or putting them on academic contracts or something like that. So it's setting up an intervention before, and there are different tiers of intervention depending on what the student needs, just as there are with academic tiers in RTI. Okay.
And do you use the same program in the independent learning program too? Is it a similar?
Good question. I would say all the students there would be on some sort of learning program, so okay. RTI is probably in full effect there. I would say 100% of the student body.
Okay.
So in some sort of way. To be honest, PBIS is used over there. She certainly teaches the lessons. It's different because we have a more school-wide. I would say that the drawings and stuff is something we're trying to get a little more with the reward systems. But it's such nice with the small student body. They're almost immediately rewarded for things, too. So it's a little good question. Yeah.
Okay, the other thing I highlighted on the under the strategies was provide training to stakeholders. And the stakeholders here are the, like the PIA, the Peers for Mental Health Services, Peers for Medical Center. I don't know if we've done anything along those lines yet. I'm not, Provide training to stakeholders as a means of informing. It's under the district will encourage and facilitate partnerships, involvement of the community, and related groups. But I wasn't exactly sure. Anyway, we had to just think about that. We'll see.
Right. And I don't know as we have training as much as it's incredible the amount of coordination between among all those groups. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I feel very good about the dialogue and the communication, but it's not really us doing training to mm-hmm. them.
Maybe the wording of this isn't mm-hmm. quite
right.
Yeah. Alrighty. Anybody have any other questions about the strategic plan or?
No.
Okay, back up here. Personnel hire. We have Penny Caples, instructional assistant for 2014-15. Recommended action is to, I have a motion.
I make a motion to approve the employment of Penny Caples, instructional assistant for 2014-2015 school year.
I second it.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? Is no, she's already in place and working away for it already. And this is an aide position, right?
It's an aide position, middle school and high school.
Okay. Megan? Joe?
It was there an elementary one or that got shifted?
That got shifted, I think it's the best
one to say. Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's a good question. There was,
right.
A lot of discussion.
Right.
Okay, are we ready for the motion? Mm-hmm. All in favor of approving the employment of Penny Caples, instructional assistant for 2014-15? Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Board committees attachment. Okay, we attached the list of the board committees that are currently in place. And as you can see by looking at it, there's several of them that we do not have anyone in that position at the moment. And the committees have not yet been active, but things like budget has John Bringhurst and Don Ware, both of whom are not here. Negotiations has John Bringhurst and Jean Ellis. Don Ware is technology, she's wellness. John Bringhurst is facilities. John Bringhurst was legislative liaison.
Well, we can give Jay whatever we want.
So anyway, so basically what I did was I put this out this month, so we could look at it and you could think about it, and then next month we will figure out who is going to do what.
Oh, no. I think we should just give Jay everything and then we'll tell him.
That is one option. Are you going to be here next month? Oh, you know who's not going to be here next month.
I seem to be already on some.
That's true. But also just, you know, if you're on something and you'd rather be on something different, you know, you can think about that.
I don't have a strong opinion, although I have been on curriculum the last two times, so if someone else would like a turn, I'm, you know, or any ones I've been on, I'm happy, you know, if someone has a strong interest in it.
Social studies. Oh, is it going to be the curriculum area?
Okay.
And the other thing is that we will be in negotiations this year. So if anybody would be interested, a couple people, in being on the negotiations team, that would be great.
I know I'm an alternate.
Yeah, well, this, yeah. And we didn't even have
those
negotiations
contracts are up at the end of this year, is that correct?
No, I don't believe so. I think it's just the...
I didn't think they were both up the same. I couldn't remember what it was.
So.
I thought they alternated.
We actually kind of put pieces of them up at the same time because we wanted to get them both in the same insurance plan.
Right.
But then we also prefer to have the main negotiations on alternate years so that we're not, or at least...
Right.
Since they're three-year contracts, often it gets a little bit tricky to...
So the teachers are.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And that doesn't happen until after Christmas, but usually in January.
Mm-hmm.
I just want people to think about that because that's going to be something that's going to have availability as well as the budget.
Correct.
Yep. A couple of the more important things that are you might want to give a thought to.
Right.
Okay. Emergency Action Committee, community-wide meeting.
Sure.
I think this is a legislative mandate that we're required to do this.
Mm-hmm. We've been working on this, right after school started. Of course, the number one thing that schools do is we need to keep kids safe, and so this is really important to make sure that we look at our emergency preparedness, and so we've really been concentrating on that. We've had a couple of lockdown drills. We're looking at a little bit of the glitches that happen in those, and then we're fixing those, and this Friday we'll be training the staff. We don't have much for new staff, so a lot of it's the same. We will be, having a community meeting where we can talk with the community and the parents on our emergency drills. And we're also, the next layer to that is also really encompassing the community. If we have an emergency in the school, it doesn't just affect the school. One thing that came to light today is, we've really got daycares in within close proximity. If we're in a lockdown situation, they need to be aware as well, and things like that. So I think we've increased our scope of what we're looking at in terms of emergency preparedness, and really coordinating, with the fire department, police department, and looking at communications. That's the big thing whenever there's an emergency is, are we able to communicate with the different agencies? And I met this morning with Kelly Swihart, and we talked about that, and just our communications and how we operate. Like I said, this Friday, the staff will be going over our emergency preparedness plan, and then we'll just keep improving on that. The important thing about an emergency plan is that it's not stagnant. You don't write a plan and then it's good for 5 years. You're always tweaking it, and you're always looking at how you can improve it and make it better. So that's really on the forefront right now. So,
well, I know that about a year ago there was some kind of incident, and there was some problems communicating between the pool and
right.
the school, and I don't know if that's, anyway, that's part of the kind of area that I know you've been working on.
Yep, that's
that communication sort of
yep.
part.
Yep, that's exactly. I mean, the one thing is, if there's a lockdown or if you need to evacuate, every single entity has to be able to be part of that communication. Whether you've got kids in the gym, whether you've got kids in the pool, whatever, they all need to participate in that mm-hmm. and be aware.
Yeah, and you were mentioning that they're maybe changing the theories in terms of how, rather than huddling everybody in one room, maybe they evacuate or do something a little different than what has been the standard plan for the last 10 years, say.
Right, exactly. There's getting to be just tons of research out there. What is the most effective way to keep kids safe in a school based on the research and how many fatalities we've had nationwide in schools, mm-hmm. and we have got a research-based approach, and we'll be looking at that. It's called the ALICE training, and it really talks about active shooters and things like that, because nationwide we've just lost way too many kids, and so we need to see what should we be doing different in the school system so that if we had an incident like that, the likelihood of having fatalities is very low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And hopefully we will never have to use any of this training.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it's always good to be prepared.
Yeah. Yep.
Any questions?
So is this Jean?
Yes.
So does this mean that it says that there's a community-wide meeting? Is there then the borough holds that meeting, and as members of the board we should attend, or some of us attend? I didn't know what this meant on our master calendar.
Right, right. The way that I interpret it is, as a school, we have our plan, and mm-hmm. then we have a community-wide
meeting to inform the parents and the community of what we're doing.
Okay.
Right, right. That's how I interpreted it. Yeah.
Well, and Cheryl is our representative to the crisis committee. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
That's good.
And you still are till next meeting. At which time you can either say you want to continue or you can say you don't want to do that anymore.
Jay will do it.
Right. But, you know, other people can go, and especially if it's a community-wide meeting, then I believe more
exactly.
than three board members could show up at a community-wide meeting.
Yeah.
But if it's a smaller meeting, we don't want more than two of us there.
I wasn't sure if we were setting a specific date or if it's still to be determined.
Yeah, to be determined.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay, and the next thing is the AASB Annual Conference, which is happening in November in Anchorage. And if all board members could go, that would be fantastic. They do have new board member training, which is has been really good in the past. I'm not sure. Cheryl and Sarah, I think, went to it last year.
I went to it the year before, and then we both went to it last year. It was okay. It was...
I thought you weren't as excited about last year.
It was good. If it is, I think we're ready to move on to the refresher stuff for existing board members. That's where I felt. But having never gone to the conference until last year, I felt like, I'll go to the... see if there's something I can glean from it. Mm-hmm. But it might be good for any of the new board members if they don't have a lot of experience on another nonprofit. But it is kind of unique. There's some things, laws that are specific to us and not to other nonprofit boards. So,
yeah, the legislature likes to mandate things for the school.
The school board, it does.
Yeah. Anyway, basically it's flying up on Wednesday the 5th. And coming back on Monday the 8th, if you're planning to attend the training, it's on Thursday, so you would need to go up on Wednesday. But what happens on Sunday is primarily the AASB meeting itself, and when they work on their resolutions and some of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a resolution, but it's in their packet until 2017, I think, so we don't have to worry about it again.
But it's still neat to watch. It's interesting to see all these people come up and voice their opinion, and then the other person come up and say why they don't like it, and the other person comes up. It's kind of cool.
No, it's really very interesting.
They pass it down. Just go on.
And that's on Thursday?
That's on Sunday.
Oh, Sunday. Yeah.
I guess what I was thinking is that if you are really on a limited schedule and have family that you can't be gone from that long, if you could probably go home on Sunday. But as Cheryl says, it is a very interesting thing, and if you can possibly stay for it, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But it also doesn't impact our school as much. You don't learn things specific to our school.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I'm saying is it's probably better to go to the Thursday meeting and skip the Sunday one. If you can do it all, that's great. And the other thing is I have decided I'm not going. This is the first year. I haven't gone in a long, long time. But I'm having some mobility issues, and it's just too much.
Okay.
So, carry on. Okay.
So, do you want?
Oh, this is the board training opportunity. All right, this is the thing that Dr. Stroh, I believe, has been working on.
Right. Per the school board request at the last meeting, I did get a hold of Timmy Tullis at the School Board Association and to see if she could do some training for us. And it's really on board training and board superintendent relations and goal setting and things like that. And we thought that a Friday was the best time, and it would be best to have it in October after the election. She said she could come, she could fly in on the 23rd in the afternoon, and she could do training on the 24th and then fly out in the afternoon of the 24th. So we could either do a 6-hour training on the 24th, like starting like 8:30 or so, or if we wanted an 8-hour training, she could probably do a couple of hours the evening of the 23rd and then continue on the 24th, but
I won't be
does
here.
That
Karen won't be here either.
You won't be there?
I'll be in Juneau for wrestling.
The 23rd and 24th of October.
Okay.
And you're going to be on your vacation?
I leave the 13th of October, and I return the October, 28th.
28th, okay.
It's a little over 2 weeks.
Okay.
You're just gone for that weekend.
Unless they change the schedule, who knows?
Change which schedule?
They're still going to Juneau on the 24th of October, right? Okay. I won't be here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I had asked her for any Friday in October, and she said she was available the 24th. Do we want to go into November at all?
Totally. Well, November, that first weekend we're going to the AASB conference.
Right.
The next one would be the 14th.
That's
and then you get into. Then you have 2 weeks, two Fridays after the conference before you get into Thanksgiving week. So the 14th or 21st.
Right. And the 14th is that big Stikeen basketball tournament?
November 14th, 15th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is we maybe do an evening thing and, or a Saturday thing and not a Friday. I don't think Jay works on Saturdays either.
No. Mm-mm.
Right. Should I just ask her if she's available one of those Saturdays in October?
Well, I don't know if anybody here is going to be. You're leaving the 13th and back the 28th?
Able to.
No. You are gone most weekends?
Basically. I'm going to be gone that weekend.
Okay, how about the weekend before?
I just lost my calendar.
Like the
I'll
18th?
Be here the 17th. Yeah, because there's a meet here.
October 17th, 18th, we're home.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's the big wrestling tournament here.
I only have
here.
One kid wrestling, so that should be okay.
You were doing the hospitality room.
I don't think so. I've given up all duties.
Yes, you have.
I've lived no Little League, no
okay.
Wrestling.
Okay.
With the towel, do that.
What about, so the 18th or what about like the 11th? Does anybody have a conflict on the 11th?
I will say that that's the Beat the Odds Race for the Cure Saturday morning.
Okay.
So unless you did it the 10th of October or the afternoon of the 11th, but for work reasons, I will be involved in that.
Yeah. January 2015.
Yeah.
It really slows down then.
January 2015 will be.
October 24, 25 is also Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, she was limited to that weekend.
I would just say January 2015. I mean, I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway, we can work on emailing schedules. I think that's an okay thing to talk about over emails is when are you available this week or that week and talk to her and see if we can come up with anything that works for all of us. I don't know if we can.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Looks a little challenging right now.
You can always use the school, you know, video conferencing and Skype and all that stuff too. Don't always get great if it has to come. You know,
that's true.
That's true.
Those facilities.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. We'll try to do that through emails and we'll schedule something.
And then when we do have it, actually, it'll be a meeting, so it will be announced 3 days ahead of time that we're going to do it because it will be considered a meeting.
Right. Correct.
Public will get to know about it.
Thanks.
We're down to additional additional comments from board members.
Did Sharon, I guess maybe this might be a question for her, is how soon do you want us, or how late do you want us to inform you whether we're going to the state conference?
I'm kind of hoping that 1st of October there's going to be some permanent fund tickets come out.
So wait till, okay.
Well, you can tell me.
Yeah, I guess we could tell you and you'll just wait to, bye. Okay. I just don't know what day.
I
hope so. Mm-hmm.
We probably need to make the hotel reservations before they all fill up.
Sure. Yeah, if y'all would get with me, that would be sooner than later.
Okay.
And the way this also works is that if you go earlier than the date we need to start, or you stay later, there's a block where you can get the AASB rate, which is less, and you have to pay it. You can pay it yourself, but you can stay for a couple days before or a couple days after if you want to extend and go shopping or something. I have sometimes done that in the past. And then paid for those days myself.
It's one ticket.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you can pick up the extra hotel nights.
Mm-hmm.
But the hotel is reasonable because it being, it's like $100 or less. Yeah.
Okay.
So just the sooner the better. Any specific day they need to let you know?
They just let me know.
Okay.
Okay. Future agenda items. Well, we're ready for adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
Wow. 2